Okay, let's dive right in. Take a look around you. Seriously, where you're sitting right now, the device you're using to listen, maybe the chair you're on, the light switch, that coffee cup nearby. None of this stuff just sort of appeared, did it? Someone, or probably, a whole team of someones, had to figure out what it should be.
How it should work, what it looks like.
Exactly. That planning, that shaping, that whole act of making choices about how things should be, that's where we find design, right?
It really is. It's not just about making things look pretty. It's a fundamental process.
Totally. And that brings us perfectly to today's deep dive. We're digging into the concept of design, and specifically trying to understand its value.
And we're doing that through the lens of a really insightful article by Jan Jervis titled, What is Design's Value? Part Two.
Right. So our mission here is to unpack what Jan Jervis shares. We want to get a handle on the tangible impact design actually has.
And maybe explore some surprising reasons why its value isn't always, recognized, even when there's strong evidence.
Yeah, and see how deeply design is woven into everything, like everywhere, from way back in history up to cutting-edge AI.
It's really about getting past the buzzwords and assumptions, trying to see what's genuinely important about this whole idea of design.
Okay, so let's start where Jan Jervis does. Jervis acknowledges there's been this ongoing discussion, both in academia and business, about whether design actually adds, measurable value.
You might think, well, obviously it does. But proving that in a way that convinces, say, a skeptical board member, that's not always straightforward.
No, definitely not. And that's the context for some pretty striking evidence Jan Jervis brings up. They point to these big studies.
Yeah, studies tracking publicly listed companies over long periods, 5, even 10 years. And the results are, well, frankly, they're quite remarkable.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. These studies found companies that genuinely embraced design strategically.
Meaning they integrated deep into their business thinking, their processes.
Exactly. Those companies achieve more than double the profits of their competitors in the same industry over those same 5-10 year span.
Double. Not just a little bit more, but double the profits. That's huge. It's a massive difference in performance.
Right. So Jan Jervis uses this to build a really strong case. Based on results like that, design clearly has real, tangible economic value. The numbers don't lie.
You'd think, okay, evidence that clear. Everyone must get it now. Design's value should be universally championed, especially in business.
That's what you'd think. But Jan Jervis points out this strange paradox. Despite this compelling data showing clear economic benefits, a lot of people in leadership roles still don't seem to fully grasp it.
They don't appreciate its strategic importance or the economic boost it can provide.
Which naturally leads to the big question, why? If the value is so evident in the numbers, why the disconnect? Why isn't design valued more universally?
Jan Jervis suggests one big reason might be that design lacks a single, universally agreed upon definition.
That makes sense. If we can't even pin down what something is, how can we confidently assess its value or potential?
And Jervis mentions research showing we tend to shy away from things we're uncertain about if the term is fuzzy.
Yeah, it's harder to engage with, harder to invest in strategically.
And this is where Jan Jervis introduces John Hesketh's perspective, a well-known design writer.
Oh, Hesketh's analogy is brilliant. He compares the word design to the word love.
Right. Its meaning shifts radically depending on who's using it, what it's applied to, the context.
Like loving your partner versus loving pizza, right? It's the same word, totally different meaning. And Hesketh says design is like that. Designing a chair isn't the same as designing software or a public service.
It really highlights how personal and context-dependent our understanding is. So, because of this slipperiness, Jan Jervis argues we each kind of need to figure out our own working meaning of design.
And maybe the best way to gauge its value isn't getting lost in definitions, but just looking at how it's used in the world. What does it do?
Exactly. Observe the effects, which shifts the focus away from design just being a job title or a specific output.
And more towards seeing it as something fundamental, something deeply human. John Jervis frames design as this basic human drive.
Stretching way back. Planning, shaping, intentionally changing our surroundings to suit our needs.
It's really cool how Jervis connects this to ancient history. That example of the handprints in Argentina, Cueva de las Manos.
A cave of hands, yeah. Incredible. 9,000 years old.
9,000 years. People making intentional marks, leaving a message. And the detail John Jervis brings up is fascinating. Most are left hands.
Right. And the likely reason, the common explanation cited, is that they blew pigment through a tube held in their right hand.
You hold your left hand flat, use your right to spray the pigment around it. It just clicks when you picture it.
And Jervis' point is, wow, 9,000 years ago, people were using tools and materials to consciously design a message, a representation of themselves that lasts millennia. That's powerful.
It shows that deep human impulse to create meaning, to leave a trace.
And Jervis argues this ancient act isn't actually that far removed from us today. Fundamentally, we design our lives, where we spend time, who we interact with.
Our ability to think, imagine, communicate. It all leads to design outcomes, whether we call it that or not.
Which leads to a really important point Jervis makes. You don't need to want to be a capital D designer. You might not even think you care much about design.
But the reality is you can all design because it's tied to that basic human need to shape things, to plan.
Just look around again. That chair, the screen, the pen, the path outside someone or a team. Design not just how it looks and feels,
but how it works, how it was made, how it got to you, how it hopefully makes life a bit better. All those deliberate choices, that's design.
Seeing it that broadly, though, also makes us face its dual nature. Jervis talks about design being impartial. The act itself isn't good or bad.
We design things to protect us, clothes, buildings, medicine. But we also, sadly, design things meant to harm, like weapons.
Exactly. Design is a tool, a powerful one. Its morality comes from the outcomes, the effects it has, not the tool itself.
Jan Jervis uses the example of plastic, which is such a potent one.
That's crucial.
Initially designed with good intentions, right? Versatile, durable, lightweight.
Absolutely. It genuinely improved many things. But
the long-term environmental consequences of a material designed not to break down weren't really factored in properly when it became ubiquitous.
And now we have this massive global plastic pollution crisis.
So Jervis says this is the key lesson. We have to look beyond just the immediate function or appearance when we evaluate design's value.
We need to consider the full long-term impact. Be more thoughtful about the consequences of what we create.
Shifting back to history for a second, it's fascinating who Jan Jervis reveals as surprising design advocates. Winston Churchill.
I know, right? Winston Churchill, the wartime leader, it seems so unexpected.
Definitely not the first person you'd think of championing industrial design.
But it's true. According to Jervis's research, in 1944, before the war even ended, Churchill's government set up the Council of Industrial Design.
Wow. So in the midst of WWII, they were already planning post-war recovery and saw design as crucial. That says a lot about how vital they thought it was.
It really does. The mission was clear. It helped revitalize Britain's economy by promoting well-designed British goods. Churchill clearly saw design's strategic value for the nation's future.
And that legacy continues. Jervis notes the organization, now just the Design Council, is still going strong over 80 years later, globally respected.
Still promoting design for societal good, not just economic gain.
And Jervis highlights the Design Council's own definition, which is really clear and powerful.
Yeah. Design is what happens when people use creativity to solve problems. Computers and coffee cups, skyscrapers and socks. And then the kicker.
Everything not made by nature has been designed.
That line. It just reframes everything, doesn't it? It takes design out of the art studio and puts it at the center of, well, everything humans have created.
Our entire built world, every tool, every system.
And this broad view is super relevant right now, as Chan Jervis points out, especially with AI becoming so integrated into our lives.
AI is maybe the ultimate design thing today. And like plastic, AI itself isn't inherently good or bad.
Its impact depends entirely on how it's designed, and crucially, how we choose to use it and weave it into society.
Jervis feels this moment, with AI's rise, is a perfect time to really reflect on being human and to actively work to ensure AI is designed for us.
To benefit humanity. You know, not create unforeseen problems or work against our values.
And Jervis emphasizes it's not just the engineers building the AI who are designing its future. We are all involved.
Through how we interact with it, the data we feed it, the choices we make about using these technologies.
Our individual actions matter. Being mindful with AI tools, trying to understand their limits and biases, being careful with our data.
Even simple things like strong passwords and software updates. It's all part of engaging responsibly with design digital systems. Jervis suggests the future of design, especially with AI, needs an even deeper grasp of human needs, frustrations, behaviors, goals.
Okay, so let's try and pull this together. Back to the core question. What is the value of design? Jervis traces the word back to the 14th century, disinner, meaning to mark out or signify.
And over time, it picked up layers, planning, intention, industry, art. But that lack of one single definition sticks.
Which brings us back to Hesketh's wonderfully circular phrase Jervis cites. Design is to design a design to produce a design.
It sounds like a riddle, but it captures that design is multi-layered, right?
Yeah.
The intention, the planning process, the plan itself, and the final creation.
And Jervis stresses that its value goes way beyond just how something looks or how easy it is to use.
To get at that broader value, Jervis brings in Herbert Simon's definition. Simon, you know, the AI and cognitive science pioneer.
Right. What was his take?
He described design as creating a course of action to change an existing situation into a preferred one.
Ah, okay. That's really broad and powerful. It fits designing a product, sure, but also a service, a strategy, a user experience, even changing a personal habit. It's about intentional change for the better.
Exactly. And Jervis shares this great personal story that really brings the value home. They saw university students studying things like law, business, medicine, not design fields.
Okay.
Taking a class on digital design skills. These weren't students aiming to be graphic designers or anything.
Right.
But Jervis saw them get totally inspired. They quickly grasped the benefits, the real value that understanding design could bring to their careers.
So learning to think like a designer, focusing on user needs, iterating, problem solving, visually, it wasn't just a tech skill.
No, it was a whole new way of thinking. They could immediately see enhancing their work in law or medicine or business. It was like transformative for them.
That really hits home. It shows how design thinking itself has value far beyond traditional design jobs. But it loops back to that challenge Jervis raises.
If design means so many things, how do we actually collaborate effectively? How do groups get on the same page?
This is where Jan Jervis offers some really practical tools developed from their research.
Right, tools to help build that shared meaning. One is the Handbook for Non-Designers.
Okay, what's that about?
It's about building basic literacy in design and digital stuff. It explains over 65 key terms like accessibility, file formats, user interface, in plain English.
Focusing on what they mean, why they matter, their impact,
especially
for people who aren't designers by trade. And Jervis mentions Section I is specifically about design concepts.
Exactly. And then there's the AAVA framework. This is more of a process for groups to build shared understanding. It's four steps.
Okay, AAVA. What do they stand for?
First A is accept. Accept that people interpret common words differently. Don't assume shared meaning.
Makes sense. Second A.
Second A is assumptions. Remember, we all bring assumptions. Acknowledge them.
Got it. V.
V is for vocabulary. Actively check what key terms mean to the group in this context. Ask things like, what do we mean by design for this project?
Okay, simple but important. And the last A.
Final A is acknowledge. Once you've clarified terms, acknowledge and maybe even write down the shared meanings you've agreed on for now so everyone's aligned.
That AAVA framework sounds incredibly practical, a way to avoid confusion when words like design are so flexible. It's about enabling teamwork, not forcing one definition.
Precisely. It helps teams cut through the fog and actually work together more effectively.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, following Jan Jervis's thinking in What is Design's Value? Part 2. From hard economic data.
To ancient human roots, the Churchill story. The Design Council legacy.
Grappling with its impartial nature, AI challenges, and finding practical ways to communicate about it today.
And the core message from Jervis seems to be that design isn't some niche thing. It's fundamental to being human, to shaping our world.
And whether you think of yourself as a designer or not, you're involved. Your choices contribute to designed outcomes.
So thinking about that Design Council definition, Jervis highlighted, everything not made by nature has been designed. What responsibility does that make you feel?
Yeah, in shaping the world through your own choices, big or small, recognizing they're part of a larger design.
Or maybe, given how personal Jan Jervis shows the meaning of design can be, after all this, what does design mean to you right now?
Well, thank you for joining us on this exploration of Jan Jervis's work on design's value. If we've piqued your interest, definitely seek out the article and Jervis's other writings.
There's a whole design world out there to see. Until our next deep dive. Keep observing, keep asking questions,
and keep designing.